Welcome to the West Ham Way USA podcast. I'm your co-host Tony in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. On the other side, we got Brawley in St. Louis. What's going on, my man?
Well, what's going on, everybody? I am sitting here on a rare off day on a Tuesday for me, so we're able to record a podcast. I'm doing okay. How are you doing, Tony?
Doing all right. You got your retro St. Louis Cardinals gear on.
Yeah.
Getting it's prepared rare. For that London series.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping I can go in June to see the Cardinals play the Cubs over at the London Stadium. Flights have just been a little too expensive, but I think they're starting to drop now because of what's going on with the travel issues and stuff. And also, I guess I'll just throw it out there now. I booked my flights over for the first time in I'll be going in April. I'll be going to Newcastle away and Burnley at home. So if you guys are at either of those games, hit me up. I'll be attending the West Ham Way pre-match event before the Burnley game. And this is all granted that there's not being played behind closed doors also. So hopefully the stadiums aren't empty and I'm not wasting. And I shouldn't say that. I have family there. It's not a waste of a trip at all. I'll still have a great time even if I don't get to see West Ham play. But that would be an absolute kick in the dick if the coronavirus cancels the games or makes them play behind closed doors. But yeah, so that would be fun. And we were hoping, Tony, you'd be able to go, but your car purchase got in the way of that a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I'm paying $500 a month right now, so I don't have any travel money. However, I'm excited for you to go. I'm going to live vicariously through you, since you usually do through me, since I go fairly often. I'm probably the only game, I think I said last week on the pod, if I do go at all this season, it'll be for the final game against Villa.
Is it if the game is meaningful, or you're either way you might go?
It depends. It's if my tax return is big enough, then I'll
go. That makes sense. Yeah, that's fair, I guess.
I don't have any money. Broke as a joke.
Over in England, do they do tax returns the same way we do? Do you know?
I don't know. I didn't pay taxes over there, so I don't want to go.
I was just wondering. Well, like here in the United States, I guess I'll explain for the listeners if they don't know, if you're in England or you're living in another country besides the United States. I don't know what it's like over there, but here, obviously, we pay taxes out of every paycheck, and then every April, you have to file your W-2s, your tax returns, and if you paid more taxes than you were supposed to, you get a return, so you get a refund back. If you paid less than you were supposed to,
you owe.
Yeah, and that's what happened to me this year. Apparently, I owe a little bit of money on my federal and state. Oof. Yeah.
Yeah, so I usually, to jump in, I usually get a nice sizable check. Like, I'm not, like, saying sizable, but I get a nice check that pays for my season tickets every year. So
yeah, that would be nice, but the last 2 years I've owed, and I've tried to fix it both years, and apparently I'm still not paying enough. So we'll see. I'm going to a tax specialist actually in a couple weeks. Ooh. Not that people want to hear about this, but
this is the tax podcast.
I don't trust TurboTax anymore. No. Let's just put it that way.
No, never mind. I was going to get into something that I'm going to leave off the pod. Anyway, long story short, we had a game this weekend against Arsenal. We lost. No surprise. However, I will say that the effort continued that we saw against Southampton and against Liverpool, and I was pretty content with the result. You said you didn't get really watch the second half, but you saw the first at all?
Snippets. So my schedule for Saturday mornings is I have to work at 10 a.m. It's a 30-minute drive to work. Kickoff is at 9 a.m., so I get to watch from 9 a.m. to 9:30 until I have to leave the house, and then at that point, I plug my phone into the aux cable, and then I basically listen to the commentary on the game until the end of the half, and then when I get to work, if it's not busy, I get to watch it, but last Saturday was the busiest I've ever been at work, so I didn't get to see literally any of the second half. But the first half, from what I saw, I really liked the way we looked, and I thought we were the better team in the first half by country mile.
Yeah, I would say so too. I think we really outplayed them, but I feel like it's also a pattern that we play well at the Emirates and somehow, some way, come out of there with a loss.
Yeah, I mean, that's just typical. Typical. I mean, it's the worst Arsenal team that we've seen in such a long time. Mm-hmm. And for us to take nothing away from either of those two games these are two of the results that you could look at if we go down at the end of the season where we're like, wow, we should have. And there's a bunch of those games, don't get me wrong. But these two Arsenal games you could look at, especially the first one, considering we were leading in the game and then we ended up throwing that away. But the fact that we didn't take anything from either Arsenal game this year does not bode well, because almost everyone this season is taking points off of Arsenal. We might be the only team Arsenal's done the double over this year. Honestly, I don't know if someone could fact check that. I'll pull up FotMob and see if that's correct. But I would not be shocked if we were the only team to have Arsenal do the double over this year.
The thing about the Arsenal game as well is, although we played well, it was the game of missed chances. I mean, from Allaire missing a few, Antonio missing a few, you know, I'm proud to say that we created the chances. How many times this season, earlier in the season, did we say we didn't even create chances? On Saturday, this attempt, we actually did create chances and we just didn't finish them. And on top of that, on the defensive side, their goal came on a millimeter VAR overturn for a goal. So, I mean, this game, although we missed the chances, really came down to millimeters. And I thought it was a much better effort than we've seen the last 9 weeks prior to our nice little run. And I just hope it continues to stay up.
By the way, I stand corrected. They've done the double over Newcastle. But yes, you're spot on. We have to start taking our chances in the final third. You have to. I thought the first half we were okay, but like the 2-on-1, I'm not sure if you just said this because I was kind of spacing out, but the Antonio 2-on-1 to Haller. I see both sides of the argument there. If you're Antonio and Haller, I think the better play probably is if Haller stops his run for the cutback so we can tap it home versus the cross right across the face of goal to tap it in. But at the same time, Antonio needs to get his head up and look to see where Haller is. Or shoot. I mean, it's the non-selfish play, which I respect to a certain degree, because in that case, it is definitely a tap in if you connect with the pass. But so I see both. Antonio needs to get his head up, and the one thing with him being a forward is it seems like he lacks that instinct to where he isn't ready to make – he isn't ready to pick out the pass. I mean, he's a bully, and if he gets just to put his laces through it and score, he'll do it. But it seems like that instinct to find his partner doesn't really exist all that well, which I can't blame him because he's not naturally a striker, so that's not really his fault either. But that play was frustrating because we're in 2-on-1. I'm like, oh, wow, we're going to score here. And then we don't even get a shot on target. That was the penultimate West Ham situation there, to have a 2-on-1 and not even get a shot. No, yeah.
But talking about shots on target, though, we did have shots on target 6-2 and shots off target. So total shots was 14-9 and we had shots on target 6-2. So the chances were there. We just didn't finish. So make that what you will. Hopefully next game, if we can do some shooting practice and get some goals, I mean, some results are there for the taking. I mean, Chelsea has been up or down. Wolves maybe. Spurs got a draw against Burnley. So I'm trying to be positive here for our listeners and I guess for my own sanity that and if we keep playing like we are, there are chances to get points. I guess the disappointing thing, though, is I also thought I believe I predicted a loss, but by the way we played and the way Arsenal played, we definitely missed an opportunity for points this weekend.
Yeah, you predicted a loss. I predicted a draw, so you were correct on that one. But you also predicted a win this coming week against Wolves. I predicted a loss. So,
oh, did you write all of them down?
I did. Yep, I have them right here. You have us beating Wolves. I cannot see us beating Wolves. I think the one thing we have going for us is they play Europe midweek before they play us. So that's a good thing. But, I mean, they have just walked all over us since they've come back to the Premier League. Maybe they won't be up for it, but my thinking is they're fighting for Champions League. I think they're going to be just as up for it as we are.
Well, on top of what you're saying, them playing Europe midweek, they have to go to Greece, by the way. So it's not like they're at home in Wolverhampton and playing on Thursday. They have to do the travel to Greece.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that adds a little something. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're playing behind closed doors, too. I saw Manchester United's draw in Austria is being played behind closed doors. God, for the love of God, Premier League, please don't make them play behind closed doors. I will be devastated if I go over and they cancel the games or postpone the games or make them play behind closed doors.
Insert all the terrible London Stadium jokes. They're like, oh, well, the atmosphere would be the same.
Yeah, it's that is funny. I haven't heard that one yet, but that's funny. Yeah, it's going to be like the exact same if the fans are in the stadium, huh?
The thing about it is Wolves have dropped points against Brighton, but then they've also got some good results. They're hit or miss. I see what you're saying, that they're a good side. Team. However, yeah. I think it's going to be similar to the Southampton game, although they're much better than Southampton. I just predicted that we really need a result, and the team will dig deep at home, all the pressures, and come through with some points.
I can't. I would love to be wrong. I'm really hoping I'm wrong. And the other thing that's good, I guess, about this is we're sandwiched in between the two European games. So, hopefully, maybe they'll play a weakened side against us. I mean, that's clutching at straws. But, I mean, maybe they'll have their eye on the Europa League more so than the Premier League, we're hoping. But, yeah, they just came off of beating Spurs. They walloped Norwich, 0-0 Leicester, 0-0 Man United. They narrowly lost to Liverpool. I mean, they're so good. Wolves are everything that we should be.
Tell me about it.
We haven't even been in the championship. They just came up from the championship. They've got an owner who puts all this money in. They've got the Portuguese connection with the whatever his name is.
They're the only team that doesn't get screwed by agents. We rely on agents and get absolutely dogged by every agent. These guys have the same agents.
What's the name of the agent? The super agent?
Oh, I don't know.
Mendes. Guy, though, right? Mendes. Yeah, I think Jorge Mendes or whatever his name is. But Wolves are everything that we should be. Wolves and Leicester, I'm just extremely envious of. And now throw Sheffield United into that mix.
Well, it's crazy. With Wolves and Leicester, you're exactly right. Those are the teams that that could have been us. If the move was done right and they had the proper infrastructure in place, these are mid-table teams. These were championship sides that really had a big come up with proper investment and in the correct areas, not just on the field. I'm talking about everywhere. And they made the correct personnel decisions from the manager all the way down to the players and proper scouting. I mean, this is everything that we could have been. I'm sorry. I really believe that. And it's a little disappointing to sit back and look at our training ground and look at the players that we've had and the managers that we've had and just say, wow, what is this?
Yeah, I mean, it's two different planets that we're living on as clubs, Wolves and Leicester to West Ham. And even Everton, we're not good to start the season. Now they've got Carlo Ancelotti and we're stuck with David Moyes. So, I mean, that just shows you how things could be. Yep. And the aspirations of the four or five teams that we just talked about, we are far away at the bottom of that. It's disappointing to see. With the Pellegrini appointment, I mean, that was a step in the right direction, I think. I've heard people like Jason Cundy call it a lazy appointment, and that could be accurate looking back at it. It's just a name who's won things, who you just have to pay a lot of money and he's going to come, but he was off in China. He didn't really care about what was going on, probably, and he came to England to get a final paycheck and maybe try to win a couple of things when it turned out horribly wrong. So I think the owners, we were praising them then, I think they still deserve a little bit of praise for that, but I see now how it could be a lazy appointment just based off of a name, a pure fact for a name. But it's just sad to see where they are and where we are, and look, well, that should have been us, definitely.
I don't even know if it was a lazy appointment, but more so they didn't really support him that much either. We talk about this hundred. I it almost feels like every podcast we talk about the 100 million that they spent two windows in a row. Blah 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 blah. First of all, the whole net spend thing, but also, sure, you spent 100 million, but then we have zero investment. What, 13 million on outside backs in the last 10 years or something like that?
Yeah, it's wild.
All left and right outside backs combined. And then we also often say every game, and there's a lot of games where Cresswell, Masuaku, Fredericks, or Zabaleta are a key problem area that get absolutely exploited. Speaking of outside backs, though, can I jump in here and shout out to Ngakia? What a revelation he's been.
Well, yeah, I said this last show, but he's been ultimately a new signing for us. He's been he looks like we could have spent 25 million pounds on him, and he's come in. And I will say, I think the wing back or the outside back is one of the most important or two of the most important positions on the pitch in modern day football. I think if you look at Liverpool, what they've done, and Man City, what they do, if you watch them play, a lot of their play comes from the outside areas, the wingbacks getting up and down the pitch and providing. And I would say the second most important is probably your holding midfielder, your most important. I think defensive midfielder is the most important position on the pitch. I think they have to do more than anyone else on that pitch.
Line.
But outside backs is right there as far as importance goes. And I think we have horribly neglected that. Now, hopefully, Ngakia is now our guy for the next 5 years, and hopefully he'll become the next Declan Rice, where we're going to have Man City and Liverpool and all those guys sniffing around for 100+ million pounds for this guy. Cause I think he's going to be the next big thing. Hopefully, if he keeps a level head on his shoulders, and absolutely deserves praise from the first half that I saw, I thought he was superb. I didn't think hardly anything got past him. So it was brilliant to see that.
Yeah, I mean, it was another strong performance. I think the back line as a whole played well, having to deal with Nicola Pepe and Lacazette and Aubameyang, you know, and limiting them to one goal, which, again, we said was millimeters on side. So
I haven't even seen the goal, too. I couldn't be bothered to look it up, and I don't want to see it because I think it'll really annoy me.
From
what I've heard, it's a lucky deflection, and it just comes over, and Lacazette bangs it in, right?
Kinda. At the end of the day, it was the quintessential VAR discussion where they got the call correct, but it wasn't a, how do I put this? The naked eye would have never seen that on the field. So VAR went back, got the correct call, but I wouldn't have never blamed the referee for missing that call.
Yeah, so you're saying like people at like Arsenal fans after the game wouldn't have been like absolutely livid if that goal wasn't given, like
you wouldn't have known. You wouldn't have even thought twice. I didn't even think twice when that flag went up. I was like, "Oh yeah, must have been offsides. That's about right." Like, I don't think it was a mile. People were saying, oh, well, he was a mile onside. I don't know about all that. But, yeah, I thought it was a fair call, but I'm also biased for West Ham.
I also want to talk about another player, Angelo Ogbonna. Mm-hmm. Another,
resurgence.
From what I saw, another stellar performance. Definitely runaway hammer of the year for me in terms of playing week in, week out, putting in a consistent shift, being solid on a week to week basis. And it seems like even under Pellegrini early to start the year, he was good, but under Moyes, he's really start to come into his own. And I think we are more in tune to the defensive side of the game now. So he's got more help in front of him. So he's not looking so silly on a few of these mishaps. Cause I don't even think of a mistake that he's made this year. I mean, I think he's been that good, that solid, and week in, week out, the same Ogbonna every single week. And I think by far and away hammer of the year.
Well, when you have Roberto-sized mistakes to look at first, his mini mistakes may go by the wayside. I thought he's played extremely solid, extremely resourceful all season, and has been a massive player for us. And it's funny what how podcasting almost makes you sound stupid sometimes, not you specifically, but as a whole, because I feel like last year I was talking about selling Ogbonna and Antonio.
Yeah, we were. We probably were saying that they need to go.
And now, because at the time, Diop and Balbuena, I didn't think Ogbonna would get back in the side. And no. Then Balbuena just fell off the map. A few not so stellar performances, along with seems like he's not buddy buddy with Moyes from an outside point of view. No factual content there. It's just funny to talk about Ogbonna and Antonio are now key. First two on the team sheet, along with Mark Noble, and we were talking about selling them months ago. So, you know, things change.
So, moving forward, obviously we lose this game. Our next game, as we said, is Wolves. Is it away or at home?
It's at home.
Okay, so Wolves at home. Do you make any changes to the starting 11 from last game to this game?
If I don't have to, no. I mean, we didn't from Southampton, and I thought we played extremely well against Arsenal, minus missed chances. If we hit those chances, we win that game 3-1. If we hit two of those chances, we win 2-1. I genuinely think that we would have won that game if we would have got at least one or two of those chances and made them pay. So, you know, again, if we keep playing like that, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'd keep the same lineup because it's working. Although we haven't gotten results, the games we didn't get results were Arsenal, Liverpool, you know, of the three.
I would be tempted, and it seems like every time we start doubting Mark Noble, he shoves it right up our hoops every single time. But I would be tempted to drop Noble and bring in Suchek, strictly for the fact of I just think Suchek has more to give right now. And don't get me wrong, I've always said I'll never say a bad thing about Mark Noble ever. But I think even he'll tell you that he's not the same as he used to be. Even last season, I think he's deteriorated quite a bit in his legs and his pace this year. But I think Suchek has more to give as a box-to-box, but he can still play that defensive role like Noble can, and he can do the same things Noble can, just a little bit better. So I would, if Suchek is ready to play 90, let's get him in, drop Noble, and if we're hopefully winning up a goal, then Noble comes in the 60th minute or so to close things down. I would like to see us start to phase Noble out a little bit as a sub if we can.
To be fair, he was the one who said it and not us. Mark Noble was the one who said, hey man, you shouldn't be relying on my 33-year-old legs every single game, week in and week out at this point in my career. You know, he would love to be in there every game if he could, but you know, he needs a break and he needs a rest. But I love the idea of see him coming on when we're winning to solidify a game. Absolutely. That gets me all excited, because here's the thing. If you put him, Rice, and Suchek all together, I think that's a very, very solid defensive guard on the back line. I like it.
Yeah.
After we're winning, of course.
Correct. I would say, yeah, if we're doing that from the offset, from the beginning, it's a little back heavy for me and not enough top heavy. I think we need to balance it out a little bit more than that, which is why I'd bring in a like-for-like Suchek right in Noble's spot alongside Rice. So that way Rice has the coverage to protect Suchek if he goes forward. But if they're coming back, if they're pressing us, then they can both play defensively. So, yeah, I think that's the play. And I think that would be a little harsh on Noble, but I think he would understand that. Like you said, I think he understands what he can give versus someone else can give.
I think in my opinion, he has more to give off the field than on the field.
Yeah, that might be right.
Practice work rate. I'm talking about in the locker room. From what it sounds like, he seems like the top guy in the locker room. He seems like, I mean, he's the captain, but he seems like a great guy who wants to mentor and be around the younger players, and a great guy with the veterans and pals. Again, I'm not there at the dressing room, so I could be completely wrong, but he seems like a great guy in the locker room. And so I don't want him to sell or go anywhere. And I know you didn't say that. I just don't think that he needs to be on the pitch every week. And he said it himself.
Yeah. And I don't think Noble will ever put on another team's shirt ever. I don't think I think he's a one man club and he's the last of a generation.
I don't know. Money talks, man. I mean, if we said that against said it about Gerrard at Liverpool, and he went to LA. I think the only difference there is Liverpool is a much higher caliber club, so not playing there and still having something to give. I think you could play at West Ham longer than Liverpool.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think we'll agree to disagree. I don't think any amount of money comes knocking. I don't think Noble's leaving West Ham to play for another club. I really don't.
You think he goes right into a coaching role then?
Yeah, I would say retires for a little bit and then comes back as a advisor or coach or in some capacity, like Kevin Nolan's done.
I absolutely love having him on the touchline too. He seems very animated, and I love the clips when you see him on the TV. So
it is good to see Kev. Yeah, yeah, for sure. And because he does have managerial experience, because he was manager of Leighton Orient, and then he went to Notts County and didn't last very long there. I think he had a falling out with the owners or something happened there.
Yeah, I think there's some funny business there. And look at Notts County now, and I think in the National League. So,
yeah, so it's good to see Kev back for sure. I don't think we have that much else to talk about this week. It's a pretty short podcast by our standards. we're used to the hour long shows, and I think we're probably right about half an hour right now. But so I just wanted to repeat one last time for you guys. If you are going to Newcastle away, I will be up in Newcastle Friday morning, and then I will be staying the night in Newcastle. So if you guys are going for a night out, hit me up, because I'll be with a couple of buddies, and would love to meet up with some of you guys. And then for the Burnley home game, I'm definitely going to the West Ham Way pre-match event. I will try to make the supporters club as well. It's tough to get both in because they run pretty much the exact same length of time, but I'm going to try to fit in both. Definitely say hi to Dave and X and the West Ham Way boys.
Did they announce who it's going to be yet for that match?
I don't believe so. I think that's have they? I haven't looked.
I don't know. If they haven't, we should ask if we could break it on our pod. That would be pretty cool. If we could break that on our pod since you're going, we'll have to send them a message, see what they got to say.
Yeah, I don't believe that they've announced it yet. So hopefully it'll be someone good. I'm sure it is. Every single guest they get lined up is amazing. So and I think I get to steal your ticket for the Burnley game, which would be nice.
Yep, you get my Burnley ticket.
Yep. So and that about does it for this week. We're going to wrap it up with the stuff that Tony usually messes up, right?
Oh, that's my line.
I stole it from you this week.
Stole it from me. Can you do the part that I always fuck up?
Yeah, okay. You can follow us on Twitter at West Ham Way US Pod. If you could go, please leave us a 5-star rating and review down on iTunes. That'd be great. Share the pod, pass the pod, as the Peter Crouch podcast says. Share it with your mates. We really ultimately just want to get more listeners. Our numbers have been good, so thank you all for tuning in. We really appreciate it. And I think that's about it. So signing off from St. Louis, I am Brawley Darbin. Signing off from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, he has been Tony Clark. And we will catch you guys later. See ya.
Irons.